Okay. Welcome to technical writing. Right? What most people think about technical writing, right? I don't blame you. Technical writing is usually not something that's fun to do, right? But, like I joke with some of my colleagues, this is an English class that my students will actually use, right? This is the stuff you'll do in the real world, right? Okay, the other ones are good, so for critical thinking skills and all that fun stuff. But this is something that you will do in your regular jobs, more so than you would want to. I've had students that graduate, and they tell me later, it's like, oh my God, Mr. Merchant, you're right. You know, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. A lot of jobs have a lot of writing in them. But this is technical writing. Technical writing, professional writing. And so it differs a little from what you had in 101 and 102. There's something you're going to hear me say a lot in this class. Audience, purpose, and context. And notice that the word audience comes first. Because in technical writing, you're working hard to address that audience, to make things as easy as possible for that audience. Because like in 101, 102, say 102, that you wrote a paper on Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven, right? Your audience is somebody who wants to read The Raven. Or maybe they're a student forced to read it and they have to write a paper on it, right? But if they don't understand what you wrote, what's the big deal, right? They may curse your name for a little bit and say, well, that's 10 or 15 minutes of my life I'll never get back, right? Darn it, I'll have to find another essay. But in technical writing, technical writing, your readers are coming to read your work because they have to, they need to. They need to know this information. They need to make a decision. They need to do something, but they need this information and they need to understand it. And they may not be subject matter experts. And so you need to make the writing as clear as possible to them so that they can access it and get this information. Audience, purpose, and context. That's hard work on your part to make it easy for them. Remember also this, there's a global audience. Your readers, English may not be their first language, but they still need the information. Their customers, their clients, possible contract bid with another company, whatever. Right? But they still need this information. And so you have to keep that audience in mind constantly. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. Okay, so you're going to learn more about Word than you care to, because in technical writing, documents need to be formatted. You'll find that in technical writing, formatting is very important, almost as important as the content and the grammar and all that fun stuff. Because right? Unfortunately, a book is judged by its cover, for one thing. You need a professional-looking document so that the readers can trust you. They can trust that you will do the job, that you will fulfill your agreements, whatever. If you turn in a sloppy document, that relates negatively. It paints a negative picture, so, like somebody who doesn't care, waits to the last minute, just throwing this together the last minute. But also, formatting the documents, as you're creating a user interface into these documents. As we go back to that audience purpose and context again, your readers are probably busy readers. They're skimming and scanning. They're not reading the entire document for fun, right? Most people don't read technical documents I just want to read a technical document for fun. You know, unless maybe they were dropped on their head as a child, right? I tend to actually do read some technical documents for fun. I probably was dropped repeatedly. I don't know. But most people know, right? They're coming into that document to get specific information, and they need to find it fast, get in there, and get out, right? So that's another reason why we have formatting, to make it easy for somebody to find that information and get there. So you want to make it look professional. You want people to be able to find the information quickly. And sometimes it's even to protect the company brand. And once we talk about style guides, we'll talk more about that then. And So you'll learn how to do things with Word more than you care to. Sorry. So we look at the 8 measures of excellence that Markell talks about in your textbook. Honesty, clarity, accuracy, comprehensiveness, accessibility, conciseness, professional appearance, and correctness. And by correctness, we mean grammar, spelling, punctuation, English usage. But also, we have the word conciseness in there, too. That's a little bit different from some of the other writings. We really want your writing to be tight. We don't want wordiness. I'm not going to give you... Well, let me back up. I'm rarely going to give you some kind of limit, some range. It has to be this many pages, has to be this many words. I don't like doing that because it needs what it needs, nothing less, nothing more. And if I give you an arbitrary page number that you have to do, and you've told me everything you need to tell me, and you haven't reached that arbitrary number, what are you going to do? You're going to start padding. You're going to start shoveling nonsense in or useless stuff in there. Maybe find some pictures just to be fancy, right? Don't want that here. Absolutely do not want that in here. Don't want you to use big words. Words have cognitive weight to them. You can have a big word that means the same thing as a small word, but that big word takes a little bit more mental energy to process. It's a little heavier cognitively. And so if you have a lot of those words in the document, it can really weigh it down. It can make it difficult to plot through. And again, remember, we want a reader to be able to come in and get the information quickly. They need to be able to understand it. English may not be their first language. They may be tired. They may be busy. This is a subtopic matter. They're not subject matter experts. A lot of reasons why we need to use simple words. So you don't use utilize. You use use. Right? The word use is a perfectly good word. That's the same thing as utilize. But it's quicker, easier to understand, much faster. It has less cognitive weight to it. We want our sentences short, not monotonously so. Sometimes you need a complex sentence, especially when you're transitioning from one idea to another idea, or your topic is complex. You may need to have some complex sentences, but we try to keep them tight. Paragraphs, we like short paragraphs, technically. Usually around 6 or 7 sentences, that's pushing it. But sometimes we need more. You'll notice that in here, like in my even in my syllabus here, there's a paragraph right here. It's got 2 sentences in it. That's it. That's all they needed. We like really tightly focused paragraphs in technical writing. Again, to make it easier for a reader to skim, scan, and try to find that information they need. We'll talk about sentence breath, right? If you can't read a sentence without having to take a breath, it's probably too long, right? Think about breaking it up. These kind of things also make it easier to translate a document. The simpler a document is, the words that you're using, the cheaper. So the easier it's going to be to translate, the cheaper it's going to be to translate. Businesses like cheaper, right? But that's hard to do. We're wordy. We're wordy people. Human beings are wordy. And making it concise takes some time. So this is not something you can do at the last minute. You're just not going to be able to. Even those of us who have been writing for a long time, I can go through a document and squeeze it down another 10%, sometimes 15%, and still say exactly the same thing. But now it's better. Need to be clear, right? You need to be accurate. It has to be accurate. These are professional documents. These are technical documents. They have to be accurate. Companies have gone bankrupt because of inaccuracies in technical writing. I'll give you a story later on, not today, but later on I'll talk about a company that went bankrupt because of an apostrophe. Misplaced apostrophe killed the company. This is an extreme case, but there are plenty of cases of lawsuits being lost because of punctuation errors. You can lose a customer. You can have equipment damage. People can lose their lives. Right? Technical writing has to be accurate. It has to be correct. And so that's a lot. That's hard work, right? As Nathaniel Hawthorne says, easy reading is damn hard writing. And it's your job to make it easy reading. And one of the things that this course is going to do, too, is to push you to be better writers, to push you to have stronger grammar skills. I know what people say all the time. They ask me what I do. They go, like, oh, yeah, I teach techno-writing. Like, oh, I'm a bad writer. Okay, why are you a bad writer? Writing's hard. Yeah, writing is hard. Doesn't mean you're a bad writer. I've got quite a few successful grants under my belt. It's hard writing. It wasn't easy for me. It took a lot of work. Writing is hard. Especially this kind of writing. It is. It's hard to be concise. It's hard to be clear, right? Comprehensive. Having just enough information, but not too little, not too much, just right. You know, the Goldilocks. It's hard to do. It takes time. It takes some effort. So you're not a bad writer. It's just writing is hard. One example I like to use is, I don't know if anybody, artists, they can take a lump of clay, put their hands over it, and then release their hand, and now it's a statue of a beautiful bird, right? Now, it takes work. Unless you're trying to do an Idaho potato, right? Then, yeah, maybe. Yep, see, there's my potato. But we're a more complicated piece of work here, right? We're the bird. We're forming the bird. And the words, that's your clay that you're working with. It takes time. It takes effort. Now, somebody who's been doing it a lot, sure, they do it faster, and they make it look easy, but, dude, they took a lot of time to get there. So it doesn't mean you're a bad writer. It doesn't mean that you can't become a good writer. It's going to take effort. It will take effort. But you can be. Especially by the time you get to this class, by the time you've gone this far and here, you guys are smart enough. You guys are able to do it. But yes, I won't lie to you, it takes work. And don't compare yourself to those people like Mozart, right? If you want to be a pianist or you want to be you write symphonies, right? And you look at Mozart, well, what, age 7, he was writing his first symphony? I mean, you want to slap the brat, right? I mean, come on, really, dude? And if you compared yourself to that and go, well, that's it. You know, I can't do it. It's hard, right? Yeah, for most of us, 99% of us, right? Yeah, it's going to take a lot more effort to be able to do, to be as good of a pianist, to be as good of a writer of music as he was. But it still can be done. We still have great composers. We still have great pianists. They just take a little more effort than, you know, that brat did. So you can do it. Alright, let's see. Okay, so you have the textbook, you know, Mike Markell, not the biggest fan of this textbook, but that's what we're stuck with. The technical writing course manual, of course, then there, the plagiarism statement that you need to sign, can't be a Xerox copy. The office requires that one from the book. You can find a used one, somebody that had the class in the winter, right? Because the spring sheet should be in there. But also there's examples in there. Technical definition, technical reports. There's examples of writing for this class. The students won a writing contest. Then we're going to use a style guide and an English usage guide, but that's something I created and it's up on my WordPress site. And these are results of my studying about 4 dozen style guides, because, yes, I was dropped in my head as a child, and I enjoy studying style guides. And this is the result of that. 4 dozen different style guides that from different corporations, governments, nonprofits, academic. And so we'll use the style guide in the class to get you used to that. Some places where you work, they may not have a style guide. Others may have a very simple one. Some will have very complicated ones. If you work for some place, for example, that uses IBM style guide, they have 18 pages of words and phrases not to use. Right? But you'll see that if there's a reason behind their madness. Always reasons for these things. One big good example with the IBM one is that they tell you do not use the word billion, do not use the word trillion in any of their documents. Why would that be? Believe it or not, the word billion means two different numbers depending on what country you're from. How crazy stupid is that? Off by three digits. That's a big difference, right? So the company is saying that this has 1 billion bits of information. Depending on if you're from France or if you're from England, you're going to read that number differently.
Also, billion has like 10 digits in it, and the number of digits that the human brain can handle at a time is like 7.
Yeah, and that's actually a point I will be bringing up later on, and so it's a good time to bring it up now. But yeah, the brain can only handle like 7, sometimes 10, sometimes if you're just really good. But around 7, you're right, 7 things that the, can keep juggling, 7 things in the at the one moment, right? Waiting for the final payoff where you can put it together and make an understanding. And that's another reason for, so I brought it up, concise writing, right? Simple writing. We don't want the complex sentences where people have to try to keep things in mind, they're like keep it in abeyance and wait till they get to the end to finally figure out what it is the heck you're trying to say. If they're busy, they're tired, they're skimming and scanning. No, if you're stressed, that number drops down to 3, maybe 2 things, right? So that's why we try to keep things simple. It's one of the things I have to keep in mind when I'm trying to learn Japanese, and the verb is at the end. And so I have to stop, I have to keep telling myself, just wait. Don't try to figure out what the sentence is trying to say right now. Wait till you get to the end of that verb, and now we know what's going on. You know, it's crazy, right? For me to get used to that. Alright, and now you need, of course you'll need Microsoft Word. Sorry, Microsoft, Apple users, Pages will not work. You will not be able to do what I need you to do using Pages. Google Docs, I'm not going to be able to do it for you either. You can do a lot with Google Docs, but not everything that I need you to do for this class. Especially when we get to the white paper and we start working with section breaks and such. You're going to have to use Word. But there is, of course, the free version of Word for students. Word 365, I think it is. And it's free for while you're in college. Email, Moodle. I'm not a fan of Moodle anymore. I wasn't a big fan of to begin with. And they changed the interface. Not really not a fan of it. And Turnitin, unfortunately, we have to use Turnitin. And also, this is a requirement. Separate. Way of backing up your work. A separate way of backing up your work. Be professional. A lot of what I'm talking about in the syllabus here, a lot about what's going on in this class is about being professional. Back your stuff up. Think about it. If you go to your boss, it's like, oh yeah, that one, that project I was working on, that report that you wanted me to write, I got it completed, but my hard drive died. Sorry, lost it. Is he going to be happy with that? She's going to say, that's no problem. All right, we'll give you a raise. Well, probably not. You lose something that the client needs. No. Back it up. Dropbox, free. OneDrive, free. You know, there are these online clouds that are free. Flash drives, good God, they're dirt cheap now. I still remember buying my first 1.13 gigabyte hard drive. See, it's burning my head. 1.13 gigabyte hard drive. Spent $130 for that thing. Back in the day. Yes! Before, that was when I was working on my first master's, and I was a poor graduate student. I ate nothing but like beans and peas for a couple of weeks. And I bought that sucker, and I was so happy. I'll never fill this up, right? Now these things are what, pennies? Right? So, back it up. I especially put this line in one quarter. All three of my classes, I think at that time I didn't have an online class, so it was 3 sections of this class. And one day, it was the weirdest thing. Every class, one class was 7 students came in, men, saying, my girlfriend took my laptop, that's why I don't have my paper. Or my wife took my laptop, that's why. stop blaming your girlfriend. Had one woman, one, come in and say her boyfriend took her, I believed her. You know, because it was just one. She was the only one. But all these guys kept coming in and was like, dudes, man, if you're going to get together and have this excuse, no. All right? That was too many. No, be professional, back your work up, because I'm not going to accept that as an excuse. It happens. I know it happens. It happens to me. A few years ago, my computer had, I think, the hard drive and power supply and motherboard. They had a murder-suicide pact, because they all went out together, right? And I'd been working on, it was in the summer, and I was working on updating a course, lesson plans, and I'd been backing up, but I hadn't backed up in a couple of months, and I lost everything. So now, no, I have backups to my backups, right? No, I have it up on Dropbox, and then the Dropbox is you know, synchronized to my work computer, to my home computer, and then I have one of my external drives, backing one of those up. I mean, no, I'm not losing my hard stuff again. Uh-uh. I'm not going through that again. You don't need to get that paranoid, you know, but have a backup. It'll help you. And one of the things is you can go ahead and submit early what you're working on, because you can keep, to turn it in, you can keep resubmitting until the due date. Once the due date comes, no, you won't be able to resubmit. But you can resubmit up to that point. So at least then there's a copy there, at least, of something, right? All right. I probably should introduce myself at the beginning, but Mr. David M. Merchant, not Dr. David Merchant. Mr., because both of my parents are married to each other. Let that joke sink in. It's a bad joke. When we had in the Navy, people were like, should we call you sir? I said, no, we'll call you officer. Both of my parents are married to each other. And as you can tell by my accent, I was born in the South of Michigan, and so I do talk fast. Maybe the only thing southern about my mouth is maybe like a NASCAR, right? It just, believe it or not, my father, he spoke faster than this. I grew up, though, mostly in Germany, army brat. So I don't know, maybe I was surrounded more by too many northerners there. I don't understand why. Because I spent most of my time going back. I came back, I lived in Texas, you know, I've lived in Tennessee. This is my hometown by default. This is the longest I've lived in one place in my life. But I just can't seem to slow down. So that's one reason why I put practically everything up. I don't have everything on the WordPress site yet. I'm getting there. So I've been moving things off the Moodle because it was just too confusing for students the last couple of quarters. When they changed the interface, my Moodle setup was, I was so happy with it because I kept getting back feedback from students and I got it tweaked and it was great. And then they changed the interface and I just can't get it to work. So I'm just going to recreate what I had before but on my WordPress site. But I can't move everything over there. Some things I just can't move because of copyright or privacy, right, kind of thing. So some things are still staying on Moodle, but I'm moving. But you're going to have everything. I'm going to be all the instructions, all the material, so you don't have to sit there and try to take notes. So you don't try to keep up with me. All right. Attendance. Yeah, because of this, we're living in such interesting times right now. I'm being a lot more generous with my attendance policy. Because if you're sick, please, for the love of God, just don't come. Just don't. Don't. Right? Everything's up on Moodle anyway, right? I mean, I do. Meeting in class is better for you than online. I can teach this class online. I do have a section right now. Every quarter I teach this online for the last several years. But there's a benefit for being here in person. Finally, it's just that routine, right? But also, you can help each other out. Because I can tell you right now, they need to close those windows.
Like
five of those
flying around.
God Almighty.
It's all through like one window
that
has a crack in it too.
Yeah,
I'm allergic.
Yeah, they kind of, yeah, I'm hypersensitive to these little bad boys too. Somebody in my, I won't mention who, say above my pay grade, humidity kills the virus, so let's just open these windows and have humidity. Yeah, no. No. Okay, as you can tell, I'm also one of those squirrel kind of people. So, if you haven't seen the movie Up, go see the movie Up. It's a great movie.
Lord have mercy.
Oh, not supposed to touch your face. So, six class meetings, right? Then I'm just if you're sick, please stay home, right? Everything's up on Moodle. But if we meet in class, the one benefit is error. That's what I was trying to get to. Your brain will lie to you. Your brain is a liar, liar, pants on fire. It'll lie. Now, part of it's just because we can't process everything we see, right? So our brain doesn't even bother. It takes a lot of information in, but there's gaps, and it just makes extrapolations, which is why visual illusions work. Like, con men can do what they do. Your brain will lie to you. And it knows what you meant to say, and it'll lie to you and say, that's what you said. And then somebody else will read your sentence, maybe your instructor who's grading it, and go, what the blast is this about? Hey. And I've had that happen to me. I feel the last one that I really remember well, because it was a new Doctor Who episode was coming on, and so I'm finishing up what I'm writing on. It's a technical document, and I've been working on this one sentence. It's like, I finally got it where I like it, right? I go watch the episode, and I come back, and I sit down, I'm rereading to get myself back into the mode and where I left off, and I realize there's no verb in the sentence. Like, now, I know I put a verb in there. I know I did. But I know my wife didn't come in there and just delete it either. She doesn't do that kind of thing. Now, your brain will lie to you. You need extra set of eyes. I do English checks for dissertations and thesis. And I had a native speaker bring me his dissertation. He's an engineer. And on his cover page, he misspelled engineering. He didn't notice. As many times as he looked at it, his brain looked at that misspelled word and said, engineering. And I looked at it and go, what is that? I think he means engineering. But do you want that on your cover page or your dissertation? No. All right. You need extra set of eyes. I have students sometimes finding errors in my work because I don't have. I'm doing this at the last minute, getting it. See, last minute will kill you. I'm getting this together, and I don't have anybody else really to look at it before putting it up. Right. You need extra set of eyes looking at your work. You can read it out loud to yourself. Sometimes your ear will pick up something that your eyes won't. Read it backwards, and I don't mean... No, read the last sentence first in the paragraph. And if you read the first sentence, your brain's already racing ahead to the next one. Read the last sentence, and that'll help you focus on it. Go to the writing center. You don't have to go with an assignment. If you know you have problems with a specific error, like comma splices, like I did way back in the before time, I went to the writing center and they beat it out of me, so I stopped doing that. Okay. One possibility, we possibly could go online for a few weeks, depending on how things go. There are some discussions in departments here on campus right now. The math department, I just found out, thinking of going online for a little bit. They're having an emergency meeting tomorrow. So, we may have to do that. Right? But if so, then find somebody to help you, to look at your work. Right? Maybe this is a time where you can use it as a new pickup line, right? For that cute girl, cute guy you want to get with. Right? Could you read my work for me? And they read, ooh, you're so smart. All right. Expectation of outside classwork. Yes, this is everything you've heard about it. This class is true. It's a demanding and challenging class, right? We expect you to be at hard mode level, right? Use video game analogy. Not insane. That's for graduate school, but hard level. You're supposed to level up by now, right? We're going to become professionals, right? And I did a survey of companies under summer of 2014, 171 companies that hired tech graduates, and I gave them a space for them to just say what they want to say, and of course, they all complained about how college graduates can't write. Companies spend billions of dollars a year retraining college graduates how to write. So if you know how to write, that's going to look good for you. It's going to help you with promotions, right? But again, it is hard. Writing is hard. It's not easy. Good writers find it hard. So just because it's hard doesn't mean you're a bad writer. It just means it's going to take work. It's going to take some effort. So you should be able to figure things out given the right information tools. I'm going to give you all the right information and tools. And so my assignments are based on, well, as much as I can, what they wanted me, the top skills that they wanted me to teach, because I also have some limitations put on me by the department for what they want us to do. So we'll do a proposal, we'll do a technical definition. I mean, you can read these, right? But one of the things I wanted to emphasize is that in this class, you will not plagiarize yourself. That is, whatever you use and write in this class, you can reuse in this class. I expect it to be. It's designed that way. In the past, we used to have different topics for each writing. It's murder. Murder for everybody. I want you to spend more time focusing on the writing than on research. So we're scaffolding. So your proposal. You're proposing to write on a particular topic. And then you'll do a definition related to that topic. And then the white paper, whatever you need to use, if you can reuse from the proposal, you can reuse from the definition. You can reuse it on white paper, reuse it. Right? Copy and paste, you don't have to cite yourself. Right? Use it. Make sure it blends in smoothly and logically and grammatically, but otherwise reuse it. Right? Okay, scoring, blah, 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 here's the points. My grading is strict. Most people do fairly well in this class, though, but my grading is strict. Again, I need to push you. Because, if you think about it, there really are no minor errors when it comes to technical writing. So most of the errors are major. There's a few that I consider minor, like a British spelling of a word. Right, that's minor. I even let you get away with a couple of those per page and not even count off. I'll mark them, but I won't count off. It's minor. People are not going to misunderstand what you said. But otherwise, I'm going to read these things literally. So if you make a grammar error that changes the meaning, even though you think, well, it's not, that should be blatantly obvious to the most casual observer. No. You got busy readers, you got tired readers. Readers, the English is not their first language. No. Late work. Deadlines are deadlines. Deadlines are deadlines, right? In the real world. A lot of people are waiting on your work to come in before they get on with their work. Right? It's a domino effect. So late work gets penalized pretty heavily. I don't regrade. We don't have rewriting. I just don't have time for that. I wish we did. I wish we had a semester system for this kind of class where we could do a portfolio method and we can do more of the writing process. Right? So I'll have writing corrections. So for the proposal and the definition, you'll just go in and it's like, I made this mistake here. This is how I would correct it. And I've had students say that they actually like that better, that they learn more that way. But don't tell me that. I get this every once in a while. I worked really hard, but my grade doesn't reflect my effort. I do not grade by effort. I'm sorry that bridge collapsed. I have tried really hard, right, to build it. No, we're going to grade you on effort, right? All right, but, yeah, the first paper. I know this is, like I said, this is a different kind of writing that you may not be used to. Engineers tend to be used to it by the time they get to this class, but most of you, no. And so the first writing, you may trip on, but I got it set up to that even if you fall flat on your face on this first assignment, you still can get an A in the class. You'll have to work harder. It's going to be more difficult for you to do so, but you still can do so. I didn't want that first assignment to make it where now that's it. It's impossible. That's wrong. Right? Usually if I put this kind of fear of God into you, then people would actually do, don't do so bad on the first one, but... Piece, you're going to have to pay attention, right, to the details. This is a very detail-oriented kind of class. The details count. The details matter. As before, even formatting. Formatting is very important. So careful about the multitasking. I think one of this misplaced information, one of the results of multitasking, right? Our subconscious can multitask like crazy, but our conscious brain, nah. It seems like it, but it's flipping back and forth, microseconds, back and forth between things, so it seems like you're multitasking. Yeah, you're not. And your efficiency drops, right? And one of these things is the misplaced information, because I've been wondering, colleagues and I were wondering, wow, in the last few quarters, we're seeing students coming up with some really weird interpretations of the assignments. And they're mixing assignments together. So I think maybe this misplaced information. So put that stuff away. Don't text while you're working on your writing. Focus. You know, it's hard to do. The technology is ruining us for that. I don't want you to think that I'm anti-technology. I was the first student in my high school to have a calculator. Yeah, it was the before time. Dinosaurs weren't walking around, but they were pretty still freshly dead. I hated slide rules with a passion, right? I learned the program calculators, TRS-80, we call it a trash 80, right? The Commodore 64s, I've been all the whole batch. I've programmed with Fortran. I've been a webmaster for the University of Tennessee at Knoxville. Systems librarian here. I love my technology. I play my video games, but there's a time and place for everything, right? You do need to have a break. You do need to have that rest and recreation, right? But, you know, so be careful about that, like with the time, with taking the time off. Like, yeah, hey, I'll just have this big kegger and I'll skip class, right, Monday, because for my hangover. I'll just play smart. We're getting close, right? So when you graduate, then you can have those parties where you can have the wine and the glass instead of a box, right? And like with video games, it does take effort, I have to admit. There's only certain ones I can play now, right now during the quarter, where I get a little, I know where I'm getting tired and I can stop and it's 11 o'clock, all right, you know. There's certain games I can do that, but Skyrim and Mass Effect, are you kidding me? This actually happened to me, that I was playing the game and I was getting tired. I'm like, well, it must be 11 o'clock. I looked up 6 a.m. in the morning and I had an 8 o'clock class to teach. I said, this can never ever happen again. I'm too old for this. It takes me a long time to recover from not having a night of sleep, right? You know, when I was young, sure, but no. Now, good Lord, man, it takes me a couple of days to recover. So I was like, well, enough of that nonsense, right? It's ticking me off because, man, I really miss Skyrim. Really miss it. So there's a time and place for everything, right? All right, no plagiarism, don't plagiarize, just don't plagiarize. Again, you're not going to self-plagiarize. You can reuse the materials in this class. You can use materials that you've written in other classes if you get permission from that other instructor. Our guidelines say that can be done if both instructors agree. Well, you already have my permission. I don't care. You have to get it from the other one, because if they then submit to Turner.com and go, whoa, and this has happened, some students did not do that, and then they end up failing the paper and out of the class, right? Get permission from them. You get permission from them, I'm okay with it. All right. Messaging, yeah. Moodle messaging is a little bit better than tech email, not a whole lot. But if you email me, use business etiquette. I had 3 sections. And every one of those sections, I have people with the same name, right? So if you tell me, you're Colby, well, which section? Which class? Well, the ones I'm in and winning Friday. All right, I got 2 of them. Which one, right? Don't let your reader have to do your work, right? I'm your reader. Audience, purpose, and context. Everything in here, think about that. Who is your audience? What do they need? What information do they need? I need to know who the heck you are, right? I got 75 students, 3 sections of the same class. Like, don't tell me you're in technical writing. That doesn't help me. Don't tell me it's on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. That doesn't help me. So give me your name and just your first name. That doesn't help me. Right? Let me know who you are. Give me a good subject line so it doesn't look like spam. Right? Do allow that, that it may take me. I'm not going to respond immediately. I had a student one time call my office phone at 5 o'clock in the morning and then sent me an email later and cussed me out, like, why didn't I answer their phone calls? Like, because I don't live in my office. There's things, again, be adults, be professional, don't ask questions that you already have the answers to, that are already in the syllabus, right? What's going to be taught on next Wednesday? Or schedules in the syllabus, right? When will you finish grading? Just don't even. I'll finish when I finish. If I'm slow and it impacts the next assignment, I'll delay the next assignment, right? I'm disappointed with my grade. I'm also disappointed. We can be disappointed together. Things like that. Just come on. And not, please look at my entire draft of my work. No. Right? That's not helping you be a self-editor. No. I'm not going to hold your hand like that. Let me know that you tried. Let me know that you ever. Come with me with specific questions. At the end of the, I do want you to know that I do want you to do well for crying out loud. I do. I want you to do well. I want you to go out there and earn 3 times more than I do. And have a nice, good life. Right? I want you to. I want you to get promotions and all that stuff. But that means I'm not going to hold your hand and do the work for you. Right? I need to push you. But I will support you. I will answer questions. I want you to do well. I'm going to give you all the materials. And if there's some materials that are missing, let me know. I'll find them and put them up there. Right? There's things that can help you. Alright. These are just some true stories that the names have been changed, protect the innocent or the silly. It's just that we noticed that as we get smarter students, they self-sabotage. Don't self-sabotage, right? We have the BARC Center to help you. We have the Counseling Center. You got the Writing Center. You got plenty of things. Make use of those, right? And then, of course, schedule's here. And hopefully, I'm not going to make any more changes to it. Let's cross fingers, right? Even if we have to go online, this is what my online class uses as well. So we'll be all right. Okay. So familiarize yourself with the WordPress site. Familiarize yourself with a much more simple looking. Oh, this is the most bare Moodle page I've ever had. I'll be adding stuff in the next several days. I don't have hardly any writing examples right now. I'll be adding those up in there. And I'll be adding the assignment instructions here. So I'm making a few changes to the instructions to make things a little easier, actually. It'll be good. So just make things a little more smooth. Where did they go? Where are those lost from? Any questions? No questions. We're all good. All right. I know. It's first day. You'll have questions later.